Fathers in the church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you as the great example of what a father should be. And in your wisdom, you created us in a family structure, fathers, mothers, children. We've looked at the role of mothers and the role of children. This morning, Lord, we look at the role of fathers, and we ask for your help as we look at some things that you have said in your word. May they instruct us, and may we who are fathers hear and do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Two things. Number one, everyone has a father. In the Bible, it's expressed by the begats. No one was found under a rock, even if you feel like it. And whether you know your father or not, everyone has a father and a mother. Number two, everyone has to be taught. How many of you figured out 2 + 2 = 4 all by yourself? How many of you taught yourself how to tie your shoes? No, I suppose that's possible. How many of you figured out the names of the colors all on your own when you were just a little person? There are things like this that we are taught. Two very important roles for fathers. I'm going to use the biblical term and say, number one, you need to be begetters. And number two, you need to be instructors. And I'm going to show you that God uses this to illustrate some spiritual applications to each of these two things. How many of you skip the begats when you get there and reading the Bible? Like in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, Cush begat Nimrod, and Mizraim begat Ludum, and Canaan begat Zidon, and Arphaxad begat Shelah, and Joktan begat Almon. How many of you skipped that? Be honest now. But it takes up several pages, doesn't it? Why does God take up several pages for something like that in the scriptures? It seems like valuable space. If God says something one time, is it true? Absolutely. If he says it twice, does that make it pretty important? Yeah. If God says something over and over and over and over and over again, how important does that make it? Why does he emphasize the begats? Because everyone comes from somebody, and that is a very important truth. No, evolutionists don't believe that. And there are people in this world, scientists, who are trying to circumvent the process. But according to biblical truth, everyone comes from someone. And that is an important truth. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15 where Paul says to the Corinthians, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Now, if we didn't have all the begets, what would that phrase, that statement mean to you? I have begotten you through the gospel. Because we understand the process through the physical world, children are begotten by parents, we need to understand the process in the spiritual world. Paul led people to Christ so that they could be born again. And as such, he became their spiritual, in quotation marks, we might say, parent, for God is our real spiritual parent, God the Father. But as he expresses it here, he has begotten them in the sense that he witnessed to them and led them to Christ. Now, the actual historical record of that is in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, where it says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and Paul came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go into the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus and the chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Now it is certainly possible for someone to read the Bible and directly from the scriptures be born again, because it is, after all, the word of God that brings people to salvation. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what we have here in verse 8, isn't it? Hearing, they believed. We go over to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For God has laid out a process that he uses in bringing people to faith in Christ. How many of you received Christ as Savior because someone witnessed to you? Most, if not all of us. And it says here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." We gather here as believers to be fed and encouraged. We send you out the door so that you can preach. Did you know you all can preach? You don't have to be behind a pulpit to preach. That's a biblical word that can simply mean witness with the gospel. Not that you're standing on a street corner or something like that, but just sharing the gospel with someone. So we send you out the door to preach, to share the word, to witness, so that people can hear, and in hearing, believe, and in believing, call on the name of the Lord so that they can be saved. That's the process that God has designed. He uses us to be begetters. Now, you don't have to be a man to be a begetter in the spiritual realm. Men and women, boys and girls can all bring people to Christ. But the point is, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be begetters. And he emphasizes in the physical world that everyone comes from someone through the begets to point to us in the spiritual realm, that it is imperative that we be witnessing so that people can be begotten and brought to Christ. So that's the begetter part. Then comes the instructor part. Would you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Are mothers responsible for teaching their children? Absolutely. But the fact that mothers do a lot of teaching of children does not excuse fathers and allow them to be absent from the teaching process. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I'm sorry, I gotta get to the next verse. "And ye know," here we are, 1 Thessalonians 2:11. "You know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does of his children." Three things. A father exhorts. That is, he encourages, he instructs, he points his children in the direction they should go. You know the proverb chapter 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go." To exhort your children is to point them in the way they should go, to point them in the right direction. He comforts. That is, he calms and consoles. Growing up isn't easy. Going through all the different changes and stages in life, especially as we come into the junior years and the junior high years, and everything seems to change, and children are novices in life. They've never been at each stage in life before. But who has? Their parents. Fathers have already been there. Fathers have already been 10 years old and 13 years old and 16 years old. They have experience. And so fathers are to be there for their children so that they can help them handle the difficulties of life. I was probably about 10 years old, maybe 11. And I lived about 4 or 5 blocks away from the elementary school I went to. There was a group of us, maybe about 5, that would walk home from school together. And for some reason, one girl in the group, I think there were 3 girls and 2 boys. One girl in the group decided that she was just going to make fun of me all the time. And this would upset me every day. Finally, I talked to my father about it. And he said, she just knows that she can set you off. And she gets a kick out of it. So what you have to do is show her that it doesn't mean anything to you. Because when she made fun of me, all the other kids laughed. So he said, when she makes comments, you laugh just like everybody else. Oh, well, worth a try, right? True enough, it worked. She starts making fun of me, and I started laughing hilariously like the other kids. And she was stunned. I was laughing instead of crying. I don't know if I really cried, but I might have. And you know, it stopped it. My father comforted me, helped me handle a difficult situation. And then number 3, he charges his children. This is the same word that is translated in the Bible, witness. The idea is here that a father gives advice to his children by telling them of lessons he has learned in his life so that they don't have to learn those same lessons the hard way. Men, have you ever learned something the hard way? Not pleasant, is it? Sometimes we need to tell our children stories about lessons that we have learned the hard way. We've been there. And we can help them not have to learn the same lessons the hard way by charging them. Now, this is something you don't do, and here's why. And, you know, children will say, well, my father did that, I can do that. No, we explain why. I did that when I was your age, and here was the consequence. And I don't want you to have to go through the same thing. Each of these things has a spiritual application to the Christian life. When you lead someone to the Lord and they're a new person in Christ, you should be pointing them in the right direction and instructing them how to live as a Christian. You should be there for them whenever they encounter spiritual difficulties and be ready to give them the advice they need. And you should be charging them concerning things they should avoid. And sometimes that includes describing lessons you learned the hard way. All 3 of these things imply communication. Do you hear that? Fathers must talk to their children. And fathers in the church family must tell us what they have learned and point us in the right direction and help us overcome some difficulties. I'm sure most of you have gone someplace or other on vacation, sightseeing, and there's been a tour guide, right? You know what a tour guide does? Yeah, experienced tour guide. Did you ever have a tour guide that didn't say anything? What would be the point of that? Well, fathers, you are a tour guide. And you need to guide your children through life. And it requires communication. Research has found that when fathers are absent, that's when children have the most problems. When young believers are without spiritual guides, they'll flounder. And maybe never grow into spiritual maturity. It's interesting that in Bible times, sons followed their father's occupations. That was part of their culture years and years ago. Remember what Joseph was when Mary's husband, Joseph, he was a carpenter. And what was Jesus described as? Carpenter. That's just what you did. Huh. In the book, Beggar to King, All the Occupations of Biblical Times, the author says one noteworthy distinction between biblical times and our own is regarding the choice of an occupation. Unlike today, where the father may be a laborer and his son a distinguished scientist or industrial tycoon, in biblical times, children followed in the footsteps of their father. The entire idea of selecting an occupation on the basis of one's interests, abilities, or personality, which constitutes the approach of the modern vocational guidance movement, was unknown. That is, in biblical times. That carried over into the Christian life. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you." Verse 22, "But you know the proof of him," that is Timotheus, "that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." Isn't that interesting? So the common practice was for a son to follow the vocation of the father in biblical times. And so in the church, Paul took this young man under his wing. Timothy wasn't his biological son. He didn't even actually lead him to the Lord, I don't think, because we're told that Timothy was taught the scriptures by his mother and his grandmother. But he took this young man under his wing and decided he's going to, shall we say, disciple him. And he treated him as a spiritual son. And Timothy worked right alongside with him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, in the introduction to that letter, we find that Timothy is with Paul and Silvanus. Paul began by sending Timothy out on short-term assignments as he sent Timothy to the Thessalonians, and then Timothy came back to the Apostle Paul. We find that in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. And Timothy then continued to serve alongside of the Apostle Paul for a while, as we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. In the introduction to that letter, Timothy is still with the Apostle Paul. But eventually, Paul had enough of confidence, having instructed and discipled and trained Timothy as a father does a son, he says, Timothy was ready to go out and serve on his own. And the letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy, tells us that Paul left Timothy alone at Ephesus to pastor that church. A local church, just like a family, needs men who will communicate with the younger folks. We need men who will demonstrate what an elder does, what a trustee does, what a teacher does, what a song leader does, what an usher does, what a sound technician does, and so on. They need to be taught. They need to be exhorted. They need to be pointed in the right direction. They need to be comforted and helped face difficult situations. They need to be charged so that they don't have to learn things the hard way. And that's what we need men to do in the local church for our young people. Maybe you don't have children. You can still be a father. I don't think Paul had children, but Timothy was his son. Maybe your children are grown. There are some young people here in this church that need guidance. Will you be fathers in the church? Exhort, comfort, charge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Help us as men to step up and do as you have instructed. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.